But sometimes when you see great stuff, there's no reason, I'm not a believer in recreating the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially now, everything exists on the internet. So the fact that the internet knows the information doesn't mean that we do, which is why I emptied the chart for you. Because the point is, and I'm not recording today, I don't think it's not that kind of sheer. But,
no?
Well, you could record, there's nothing private or anything. But it's more about the work, it's more about the finding the psukim and seeing the text. And that's not mine, take that, okay? And you'll see, I don't know, I'm excited by text study. So hopefully as we see through it, we're going to understand the makot. We'll start, just as a very famous line in the Ten Makos, we do Dam, Tzvardea, Kinim, right? And then right after that it says, Rabbi Yehuda haya noten behem simanim. Okay, what are the simanim? Anybody know?
Something
and something. Not Dash, that's a terrorist organization in Syria.
Adash.
No, what is it?
It's acronyms.
Yeah, of each.
Ditzach, Adash, Be'achab, right? Ditzach, Dam Tzvardea Kinim. Adash, Aro Devashchin, right? Be'achab. Barad Arba Choshech, and then Bechorot. Okay? And it's always like, really? He gave me this. Rabbi Yehuda gave Simanim, so you could remember it. And what are they? It's the first Rashi Tevot of the Makot. Like, seriously? That's the Simanim?
He groups them. Like,
oh, so what's the point of grouping them? Why does he group them?
The first three come from the ground.
Oh, very good. We're going to see exactly that. So that's our little exercise today. Okay, we're going to like really fly through the psukim. That's good. Yes, we're going to see. Yes, they do. We're going to see in a second. That it's not just that, though. We're going to see that there's much, much more than that. It's much more significant than just the grouping of that way, of the physical grouping. And that's true as well.
Also,
okay?
Some affected humans, some affected animals.
Very good. That's also true. We'll see. And the third thing we're going to see, I'm going to start by saying is, we'll ask, what was the purpose of the Makot? Like, we're getting into now 30 days before the Chag. We're going to get into Pesach. What's the point of the makot? And this is an important question if you have younger children. This is for younger children. Why do we have makot? Like, classically, the understanding of why we have makot is?
Keep the Seder fun.
No. Not why we have makot. Why did God inflict 10 makot on the Egyptians?
Show his power.
Convince Pharaoh to let the Jewish people go.
Correct. That's the classic answer. Convince Pharaoh to let the Jewish people go. What's the problem with that?
The magicians could be the same thing.
No, that's not it. That's not the problem.
God hardened his heart.
What?
God kept hardening his heart.
Right.
Not to let them go.
Right.
Okay, but that's not even the biggest question. The biggest question is, if you just want to let them go, skip to the end.
Right.
You know, what do you need the first nine for?
Well, so that the Jewish people could be aware of the open miracles.
I will kill all your firstborn. Do you want another? No, you don't need to set him up. That's enough.
And this needed to become acclimatized to Hashem's presence in the world and the miracles that he could perform.
Interesting. So who'd you say? Who needed to become acclimatized?
Am Yisrael.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe not to have to.
So isn't that great? We punish the Egyptians. We slam the Egyptians in order to teach you a lesson?
The Jews.
That's not fair. I mean, it is fair because the Egyptians enslaved
them. It's just slave mentality. They needed to. Where am I going?
So wait. You said if you're keeping track at home, you just said two different things, and both are correct. Okay. The first one is to teach the Jews about God. The second one you said is to teach the Jews
about freedom.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's also true. The third one would be obviously. I think you said this just a second ago. What's another one? Not just teach the Jews about God. To teach the Egyptians
world.
About
yeah.
God.
The world.
Right. So it's not an exercise in punishment or coercion per se. It's an exercise in presence. Okay? And we're going to see this actually explicitly in the text. Okay? So let's start with Dam. Everybody knows what that is.
Where?
So turn to Dam. I'm kidding. I'm going to
Dam.
Oh, what do you know? I wrote it in my text. Okay. Perek Zayin Pasuk Tet Yudalit. Perek Zayin Pasuk Tet. Shemot. We're going to be in Sefer Shemot. You don't need Parashiot. Shemot, chapter 7, verse 14.
Shemot. Mm-hmm. Shemot, 7, Zion, 14. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Everyone have it? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Yeah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Something's going around. I've had it only for like a week and a half. You're supposed to be the medical expert. That's your medical thing?
100%.
100%
affects you. Barometric pressure.
It
has a huge effect.
Right? Harden Paro's heart. So it's interesting. In order, it seems like backwards. So that he will not send the nation out. Lechel Paro baboker. Hine yotzei ha-maima. Go to Paro in the morning. Behold, he's going out to the water. You should stand up opposite him on the edge of the Yaor. What is the Yaor?
The Nile River.
So just as an aside, what do we know about the Egyptians in the Nile?
They worship the Nile.
There was a deity. There was a deification of the Nile per se. That's one. And what do we know about Paro?
He was relieving himself.
What?
He used to go there in the morning.
Right. The Midrash says why did he go in the morning?
To relieve himself.
So nobody would see him.
Right. So he's using there's a certain irony in the fact that a deity is using the deity in order to hide his humanity. Right? And Moshe is going there and standing on the opposite, like, you know, watching, saying, I know exactly what you're doing. Okay, but going in the morning and then saying to him, take the staff that turned into a serpent. Or whatever. Ve'amarta el eilav. Say to him, Hashem Elokei Ayivim shalachani eilecha lemor, shalach et ami ve'yavduni ba'midbar. The God of the Hebrews. That's interesting, he says, the God of the Hebrews. Right now it's still the God of the Hebrews, okay? Ve'hinei lo shamata ad ko. You didn't hear until now. You didn't hearken. You didn't listen. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ko amar Hashem. So says God. Bezot teida ki ani Hashem. With this you will know that I am God. I will smite with my staff the water on the Yaor and the Nile, and it will turn to blood. The fish will die. The water, the Nile will become, I don't know what that is.
Deadly.
The river will stink.
Will smell, right? Will become.
Shall become foul.
What? Yeah. Foul. Okay. V'ni'u Mitzrayim lishtot mayim minor, and they can't, and they will not be able to drink water from the Yaor. Okay, so the first thing we see, the reason of this plague. What? They drank from their deity. The source of life.
In India, they still worship the Ganges.
Sure. I mean, I think that it's easy for us to, we're not raised at this, it's not our culture, not our understanding, but the Nile was life. It was their whole sustenance. I mean, everything that they needed was from the Nile. So they worshipped, I don't know if they worshipped the water itself per se, but they worshipped the godliness of the spirituality of the Nile. And I don't think, it's not something we do, but it's not crazy. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay? So he's going to take your God and I'm going to turn it, but what's the purpose? So Moshe says explicitly, I highlighted in my Tanakh, and he highlights also over here, right? You know, the first thing in the place is, Bezot teida ki ani Hashem. First, right, remember, what did Paro say when Moshe said to him, God, the God of the Hebrews, came to me and said, let my people go? What's the first thing that Paro said? Anybody know?
No,
we have to go back.
No, I will not let you go.
One second. So it's fine. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Turn back to chapter 5. Hold your place here. Okay, and turn back to chapter 5. Turn 1. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Two of you joking around. It's like my own love classes. I have a. You're recording? I'm not going to say anything. Okay. God, the God of Israel, shalach et ami v'yachogli b'amidbar. V'yomer Paro. This is the three things he says. Mi Hashem asher yishma b'kolo l'shalach et Yisrael.
Who is this God?
Meaning, never heard of him before. Lo yadati et Hashem. I don't know this God. V'gam et Yisrael lo shalach. He says three things. I've never heard of this God. I don't know who he is.
Isn't it the same thing?
No.
Why is it different?
What?
Why is it different?
I've never heard of this God. This God doesn't exist.
Okay.
I've heard of this God, but not my God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the third thing is,
I'm not sending you out.
Right. Even if I heard of the God, and now I, and God. Right? I'm still better than that God. Okay? So it's interesting. We have three prongs, three levels. What's the first thing that Moshe says to him? Bezot teida ki ani Hashem. Who's this God?
You know,
you get to know me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What? Good. Okay. So in your chart, in the first, it says Dam. You see,
oh, yeah.
Right? Blood, frogs, lice. Mm-hmm. So it says attribute of God. So look on your first page for a second. Okay. Again, it's nice when they settle up for you. Okay. He brings in the Perush of the Malbim on this page. We're doing both at the same time. C says God said to Pharaoh, Ko amar Hashem. Bezot teida ki ani Hashem, ki ani Hashem. Hine anochi makeh b'mateh asher b'yadi al ha'mayim asher b'yehor. See the Malbim right there. Haseder harishon, the first order, the first set. Ba levarer mitziyut Hashem. The first order comes to explain, to demonstrate the presence of God, the existence of God. Sheparo kicheshbo. Paro denied him. Sheamar, because he said, Mi Hashem asher shma b'kolo. Who is this God? I never heard of this God. Okay? So if you look at your chart, so the first thing in your chart, with the first three plagues that we're going to see, the first three plagues over here you see on this chart, right? What's the attribute of God? What essence of God? What are the first three plagues here to present?
His existence.
Existence of God. Correct? Right? Rather than argue that there is such a thing. Okay. Now we're going to ask a few other questions as we go through the different plagues. Okay? We're going to say where is it, right? And what's the point of the what is the point of each one? Okay? Don't cheat by looking at my chart. Okay. We're going to see like where's the physical location that we know. What's the physical location of blood? There's each one. What's the physical location of the blood?
Body.
No, the plague of blood.
The Nile,
the water. Okay, so it'd be God's power over the water. Right, then we don't need it. Okay, is there a warning?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. How do we know there's a warning? God sent Moshe and says, "Go warn." Okay. There's an
actual.
Yes.
So
what?
God's power over what? Our sustenance.
He put in here water. God's power over water. Right? Over the Nile. If it were me, I don't know if I would say water. If we believe that it was their deity, so the first thing that you have to do in order to demonstrate that you're...
Over their God.
Right, over their God. It could be.
I don't know. I can also see it as water, because water is also rain, the oceans. There's so much connected.
They didn't know about the oceans.
And they knew about the Yam Suf.
They knew about the Nile.
And the Yam Suf.
The Suf is the Nile is a tributary of the, is it? It's not connected at all? Oh, it's totally different water. I don't know. Okay. No cheating.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you went through all of that, right?
No,
I missed it.
Like I said, it's not there's no cheating. I could give it to you, but there's a point in seeing it.
I had a student.
I was doing Chol Shabbat.
That's
fine. I was doing, you're like, where am I behind already?
Yeah.
Back to school. I'm teaching Hilchot yesterday, Hilchot Shabbat.
Sure.
And I said to the girls, okay, we're going to talk about Melechet Bishul. We started though, so the whole unit of Melechet Bishul, I said, take a minute and write down on your paper, what is the definition of Bishul? What does it mean to cook? Okay, so I waited a minute, and then I asked the student, and she's like, I think it means, I said, no, what did you write down? And she got really annoyed at me. Like, what do you care what I like wrote it down or didn't write it down? So I had to stop and I started to explain to her. I said, there's a huge difference between if you wrote it down or if you didn't write it down. Because when you write something down, you're committing a thought. You have to have a concrete thought that then you're committing to it. You know what you think. Like until you write it down, you don't actually know what you think. You think that you think something.
And you're standing by what you think.
Right.
You write something down.
Writing is an exercise in concretizing thought into something more real, something more tangible. Okay, and that's an important exercise. And she didn't do it because I said, so what is it? She said, I think it's maybe... I said, that's why I wanted you to write it. She got really annoyed at me. But I turned into like a whole... So sort of pedagogical, like, lesson, that there's a value in the process. Like, you know, like, very often students at the end are like, oh, what is the answer? It's not about that. It's about
They don't even
thinking.
Have to write in lectures anymore because they're given the PowerPoints and they sit there with their tablets following along.
You know, so here, this year is not that. It's really the process. It's a process of discovery, which is, I think, to me, it's more fun, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I said to Rina, I was telling her this whole story. She said, did you walk around the room while they were writing it down? I said, no. She's like, well, of course they didn't write it down. I said, but it's college. Can you do that? Like, you know, like at what point, like where's the line between high school and college and babysitting? I don't know. Anyway, okay.
And I told it to
you. There's another, actually I didn't add this, there's another thing. Who did the plague? Who?
Moshe.
No.
Meted out the plague. It's
all
very
right,
interesting.
Right.
Okay. So we'll see in a second. I added actually in my Hebrew one, I didn't add it here. Okay.
But he's telling Moshe only.
Okay, pasuk yutet. Vayom Hashem el Moshe, emur el Aharon. Say to Aharon, unetei matcha, kach matcha, unetei yadcha, meimei mitzayim ba'al na'ortam, ba'al yoreihem, ba'al gmeihem, ba'al kol mikvei meimeihem, v'yu ledam. V'haya adam b'chol eretz mitzayim, ba'itzim u'ba'avanim. Okay, and there should be blood in all of Egypt, even the trees, even in the rocks, if you open up a rock. So Moshe and Aaron did. I'm in pasuk chav. Oh, we went back. We're back. Perek zayin pasuk chav. You got it? Okay. Vayamim b'mateh. Vayachet amayim asher b'yeor leinei paro ulenei avadav. Vayevchu kol amayim asher b'yeor ledam. Okay. They all turned to blood. Vadaga asher b'yeor meta. And the fish died. Okay. So it's important to note. The only permanent damage that happened in this plague was to the
fish.
There was no other damage. And how do I know this? What happened to the Egyptians? What did the Egyptians do?
They lived.
So then, what did they drink?
Well, the Bible says they used to go and buy water from the Jews.
You don't need that. Look at the Pasuk Chavgim, we'll continue. Vayasu kein chartumei mitzayim belatehem. First of all, the Egyptians were able to recreate the trick. Okay? V'yechazak le'paro v'lo shamalim kesher diber Hashem. So God can control the magic, can't he? Couldn't he make it so that they couldn't do it? We're going to see later. So first of all, the Chartumim could do it. The second thing we also see is, v'yechperu kol mitzayim svivot ha'yor mayim lishtot. Everything that they had turned to blood. So what did they do?
They dug wells.
Meaning, the Torah goes out of its way to show you that this plague was... It's like baby steps.
It's also showing the attribute of chesed of Hashem.
Why? It's nice of you to say. But
because it goes out of its way to show that he didn't destroy all the... You know,
why not? If the point of a plague is to be a makkah, to plague them... Plague them!
But they had to work for their water. It wasn't just boom, instantly available to them.
He really wanted to show, I'm here. Like,
but not?
It wasn't a punishment.
Right? Okay? So, I don't know. I didn't have a chart. We have a second. Who did it? Aaron. Okay? What about, was there lasting damage? Like, I don't know how you measure this. Like we do a scale of pain. Like, you know, like you do that in like, what's your pain threshold on a scale of 1 to 10? So what's the pain threshold here? Okay. We know that Makkah Bechor, what's the pain threshold?
10.
What's the pain threshold of Don?
2.
Whatever. You give it whatever you want. Okay. I can add those in your chart if you want.
I think
asking that question, scale of pain, is an important question.
So it didn't prove God's existence if they could do it too, because they weren't God.
And also, he doesn't seem to actually mete out the plague that he promises.
Why?
Because he promises that there will be blood everywhere in the trees and in the stones.
There was.
But if you can dig a well and find water, that's not blood everywhere.
That's not. Mm. That's earth.
I don't know.
That's not stone.
What's clear is if what would have happened if all the water turned to blood? How long can you go without water?
2 or 3 days.
What?
A couple days.
Right. What if you have a week without water?
You'll die.
Right. point wasn't, I think the point of the water is it clearly wasn't there to kill them. It was there to send a message. Okay? Pain level number two. So physical location, okay? We'll see in a second. There's a combination. Okay? Next one. Again, let my people go. Okay, that was in the first one. That was also in the second one. Shalach et ami v'yavduni. You saw it in the first one. You see it here also. V'iman ein ata l'shalayach. And if you refuse, hine anochi amin pasuk chaf zayin, whatever, chaf zayin? Okay. V'imayin lecha l'shalayach, hine anochi nogeif et kol gvucha b'tzvardeim. Nogeif, from the word magefa. I will afflict your all of your borders with frogs. V'sharata yor tzvardeim v'alu uva'u beitecha u'b'chada mishkabcha v'amitatecha u'b'beit avadecha u'b'amcha u'b'tanurecha u'b'mishavitecha. Frogs on your nose and frogs on your toes, right? U'b'cha u'b'amcha v'chol avadecha yalu tzvardeim. It's fascinating. It doesn't say why. So therefore, the Malbim says, this isn't separate from the first one. It's Ditzach. Right? There's a unit, the first three. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Aharon. So who does this one?
Aharon.
Neteat yadcha b'matecha al neharot v'al yorim v'al agamim. Right? Again, where is it, the physical location? What's being affected here?
The Nile.
Again, the water, the Nile. Okay? What do the frogs do? They're like a weirdest plague. You had to like a pick a thing. Blood, cool. Frogs?
Irritation.
What?
Gross. A lot of people don't like frogs. It's slimy.
Yeah.
The frogs are not slimy.
Frogs are not slimy. What are they?
They're soft. They're smooth.
And tasty. I mean, the Egyptians clearly ate them. The frog legs?
Gross.
Maybe? I don't know.
French.
Well, who eat them?
French.
French people. Right. It's a delicacy.
Such a weird
plague, isn't it? Like,
well, now in light of what we know about, like in modern times about frogs, they're sort of the first species to be affected by any...
really?
Environmental changes, yeah, because their skin is really thin, and so they're sort of like scientists follow them to see what else is going to come.
Like the canary in the mine.
See, the only thing I can think of is if we start with the blood, which is the yaor, right? They'll start with the water, okay, and then the fish die. Then the idea is that what starts in the yaor
spreads
out, right? It's not just something that you say, well, oh, that's only the water. No, it's coming. That's the only thing I can think of. That it's an elaboration. Tzvardeya is simply an elaboration of dam.
Just the Nile. The people had to go to the Nile.
Why wouldn't we have just done a flood? Turned it to blood.
I'm not the blood flood.
Yeah.
That'd have been cool. I don't know.
Because
that's a tsunami. Is there a tsunami? Is there such a thing you need? I mean, you could do whatever you want, I guess. I don't know. Okay, why did God choose Tzvardeya? I don't remember seeing anybody talk about why did God choose frog. What? What, overflow of the river?
It would certainly have an overflow, but the Nile, yeah,
sure.
It seemed like too miraculous. Because
if it was blood, the blood overflowed, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but every year,
then that would just be blood.
Overflowed anyway, so once it was blood.
No, but she wants, like, Hollywood. Right? Tidal wave of blood.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Anyway.
So the frogs are in their face. You know, the Nile, you could kind of just not go there and just shut yourself in a daydream and
right.
Go la la la.
Now it comes to you.
Anything, but
and look how the...
Look at their eyes.
Look at the, but look at the emphasis, everywhere. Right? The emphasis of the pasuk is, b'sha'uva'u bebeitecha, in your house, ובחדר משכבך, in your bedroom, ועמיתתך, and in your bed, ובית עבדך, ובעמך, ובתנורך, in your oven, ובמשערתך, in your משערותך, what is it, what does he say? I don't know. משערותך? Kneading bowls. Like, they're everywhere. They're unavoidable. It's every place. It's, you know. What?
It's a huge annoyance.
And it's unavoidable annoyance.
It's like if you've ever had those chocolate
frogs here, frogs there, really
you ever
everywhere.
Have those moths in your cabinet? Mm-hmm. Your pantry?
Yeah.
Never had those?
What?
Yeah. You get these sometimes, like if you buy something and there's like a moth embedded in the plastic,
ugh.
And then they breathe, and it's like impossible to get rid of them. You have to like throw everything okay. out.
You don't keep things in a plastic container?
I'm saying, sometimes you come from the store. You don't even know that it's there. Then you see, they call chocolate moths, they're dark brown moths. Yeah. And they just...
Lo Aleinu, you can keep them. Okay.
Thank God.
Vayet Aaron, Pasuk Perchet, Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Emor El Aaron, we did that in a second. Vayet Aaron et Yado al Meinei Mitzvayim, so it starts with the water. Vata'al Hatzvardeya, Vatechas et Eretz Mitzvayim, and it rose out of the water and it covered Vayasukin, again, Vayasukin Achartumim Belatehim, the Egyptians, what they do, they did it too.
Interesting.
Vayalu Tatzvardim, Eretz Mitzvayim, what frogs were left, I don't know, but they also.
They were crocodiles.
What?
Some people say they were crocodiles.
Tzvardeya?
Some commentaries render crocodiles.
Yeah. Okay. But that's true. But yeah, but what they weren't they? Even if they were crocodiles, what weren't they? What didn't they do?
Eat
non. They didn't eat people. Right? They didn't. It was because them. Why? How do I know?
They were vegetarian.
Because it would have said. Would have said they killed. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no indication. Now, this I don't know exactly what to do with, but I'll share it. Let's go on a little bit. Vayikra paro lemoshe ul'aron vayomer hatiru el Hashem. Call out to Hashem, v'hayaser atzvardeim mimenu mi'ami, v'eshlecha atam v'yisbechu l'Hashem. I'll do it, okay, I'll let you out. It's interesting, like, the blood he didn't care about. But the frogs, like, it bothered him. V'yomer Moshe l'paro, hitpa'er alai, l'matai a'atir l'cha, u'la'avadecha u'la'amcha, l'achrit atzvardeim mimcha o'mibatecha, rak b'yor tisharna. We're not going on specific on the language, but when would you like me to do this? Okay. Vayomer, this is a shocking thing. I think this is actually an opening for so many other things. What would you say? Get these damn frogs out of here. Get them out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, just tell me, when would you like them? So what does Paro say? The most shocking thing. Vayomer, lemachar. Like, what?
Weird.
Tomorrow? The frogs would be gone. Tomorrow. Vayomer kidvarcha, no problem. Leman teda ki ein ka Hashem Eloheinu. Okay, this the language of leman teda is actually interesting, because when we first saw, okay, he said bizot teda. With this you will know ki ani Hashem, I am God. So somehow when Paro comes to him and says get these out of here, and he says tomorrow, there's an additional ki ein ka Hashem Eloheinu, like it's. I don't know what to do with this leman teda ki ein, there's no other God like our God. Because it doesn't seem like it's part of the original plan. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like the original detach adash be'achav is like, okay, here's the, we're gonna, who is God? Okay, there's the three sets to show there is such a God. The next three is to answer something else. The third three is to answer something else. But here, Paro is like throwing a, he's calling an audible. Like, did Moshe plan for Paro to call him and say, get rid of these frogs? Was that part of the plan? Because did he know that Paro was going to say, okay, come, just get rid of these frogs, I'll send you out. Did he know that was going to happen? Hard to say. You think so?
No, but he didn't know at that moment.
Right.
He would eventually be called.
Okay. Why did Moshe know that he'd be called and say, okay, tell me when?
No.
Right.
Why not?
I don't know. Like, is that part of the plan or is it ad-libbing?
And why isn't
do you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's some give and take here that Moshe says to add in.
Also, why doesn't he say, I'll get rid of it if you let my people go? Like, why?
He said, I'll let them go. He said, okay, I'll, you know.
What he said?
1 second. V'eshlecha ta'am. Yeah, he said, I'll send them out. And then, I'll send them out. He says, okay, you got me. Second one, no problem. Okay? So it just says, v'yomer l'machar, the tomorrow, and we're going to see tomorrow a few times now. And he did it, and they became piles. Again, vativ ash ha'aretz. Where do we see that word? Let's read again. 1 second.
The fish died.
Right? The fish died. And now, Vayas Hashem Gidvar Moshe. I'm skipping to Pasuk 10. Vayamutu Hatzvardi'im Midabatim Minachatzerot Minasad. They all died. Vayitzberu Otam Chamarim Chamarim. Okay? And they piled them up. Piles and piles of dead frogs. We had one dead frog here, like on our doorstep. It was gross. Okay? You can imagine piles and piles of Vativ Ash Aretz. Where does we have that word from Vativ Ash? Where do we have that? Anybody know?
When the fish died.
When the fish died. What did it say? Vativ like the Yor.
Vativ
Ash Yor. So there's like this rot. Just a stink. Now the water stinks, and now what else stinks? frogs. The land stinks. Hativasha Arat. Everything stinks. Right? Now somebody said to me that when they had to visited Beijing. What?
It's going
to
get stinky.
Right. They visited Beijing. Like the thing that you can't get away from that nobody knows about is the smog.
Yeah.
It's like you can't breathe. It's all smog all over the place. So like imagine, like we all know how bad it is when you walk out. You know what I mean? And like, thank God they fixed that. Like a stink. Yeah. What? Remember how bad it was?
Mm-hmm.
For months and for like months? Up here it was worse. Down there it wasn't as bad. We felt bad for you. We were happy that we lived down there back then. Okay? So this is Vativasha Aretz. So before now. And then what happened? Oh, everything's fine. So what do we have? Let's do our chart. Frogs. Attribute of God. We're still the same one. Physical location.
Water
again.
And land.
Water to land. Very interesting. Okay, God's power over. He wrote aquatic creatures. I don't know. Aquatic God, power over aquatic creatures. Anyway, warning or no warning?
Yeah,
yes, warning. Correct. Third one.
Can I ask something? If Paro's men thought they were so big because they could also create frogs, could they not
they could
take
raise
away
the frogs?
Now, what's the big deal?
That's
if
not the trick.
I can also make frogs. You know, what power is that showing? Surely the power would be we can make them go away.
Well, if you can make them go away, then you're better. If you can at least
do
the same.
I can do too.
Right. Right.
It's like, why would you do that?
Because they don't believe in God. What's this
God? No, it's not that they don't believe in God. They believe in many gods.
Right. No, but
right, they believe in many gods. But is this a God that we should listen to or not? Is this a God, you know what I'm saying? They did believe in many gods.
But they're multiplying.
So, but they also didn't believe, they believed in gods that were associated with powers. They didn't, their perception of God, our perception is totally monotheistic. Our perception is there's one all-powerful God that controls, etc., etc. Okay, but their perception of God was there were powers in the world that gave blessing, that gave life, that caused death. Okay? But this idea of an all-controlling God that controls everything is an anathema to them. It's impossible. It's a process of education. You're changing their whole worldview. Can you imagine what it would take for us to change our worldview of what God was, Lo Alina? You know what I'm saying? So you have to sort of bring them along in step by step.
But they're happy to inflict more pain and discomfort on themselves just to prove a point.
Not to prove a point. It's everything is still that I like. Everything still makes sense. They have a seder. They have an understanding of the world. Okay. So is Moshe doing magic or is this something beyond something we can understand? What do they think?
Yeah, that it's magic.
Yeah, cool trick. He's good. You know what I'm saying? You know, we never saw anybody with the force like that. But we also have the force. You know what I'm saying? Because it fits into our worldview. Remember, the Chartumim, weren't sorcerers. They were scientists. That was the science of their time. They, you know, they did their incantations. Like, so you can imagine today, as long as everything is explainable by science, nobody has to believe anything. Right? So how would they understand it? What's the blood? There was a volcano, underground volcano. Is that really blood? Are you tested? Da, 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 da. Fine. Yeah. Okay, then the frogs come up. La, 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 la. As long as we can explain things scientifically, we're all good. Because what does that mean?
That it's not about...
I don't have to believe in God. It's not supernatural. Everything is nature. Yeah. That's God today. You know what it would take in order to convince the world that there is a supernatural power that controls everything?
10 plagues.
Yeah. You couldn't do it with one. It's an anomaly, an anathema, it's a whatever. Right? Scientists are trying to understand blah blah blah. Black hole theory, whatever. Okay. Kinim. Vayamashama Moshe Amor Aaron, Neteat Mancha Vahitapar Aretz, Vayala Kinim Khol Erez Mitzrayim, Vaya Asukin. Vayet Aaron at Yado, Aaron stuck at his Bimatehu, Vayachitafar Aretz, Vati Kinam Badam. Who did it? Warning?
No.
No warning. What is the meaning of something that there's no warning?
I'm annoyed.
That's just comes.
That's it. You've been warned.
And
now your consequences.
What does that mean? So what's the consequences are?
Punishment.
Punishment. Right. No warning is punishment. Right. Everything else, when there's a warning, the warning is to convey a message. Right. The consequences convey a message. When there's no warning at all, that's a punishment.
You're gonna be punished. You're gonna be punished. Okay, you're punished.
Right. I'm gonna do it.
I'm warning.
Counting to three. One.
Yeah. What?
Counting to three. One. Two. Mm.
Two and a half.
Don't make me say three. Yeah.
See, if
that's
you can't,
a shift in power.
What?
Because the minute there's no warning, then power doesn't have any... Mm-hmm. Any control over anything anymore. It's not his say anymore.
Okay. Lice, pain threshold? 0 to 10?
Pain?
Just an irritation.
Annoyance.
Are we continuing this next week?
Wasn't the plan. I don't know. Do we need to? Where are we?
9:15.
Or 9:15? I guess we are.
Okay. Can I leave this here then?
Sure. Okay. You're good? Okay.
Put it in your copy.
I'm sorry.
Put it in your copy. Okay. Have a good week. Is this really such a con? I don't know. Okay. Okay, that's one. So it's interesting to note, Dam, Svardeya, and Kilim, if you think about them, they didn't cause any... The fish died. Frogs died. So the fish died. Yes. So you don't have fish to eat. Okay, so what do you eat instead?
Chicken.
Whatever.
Vegetarians,
right?
Because they worship the cows. They weren't going to eat them.
There are other.
Did they eat fish? I'm sure they
chickens.
Ate fish.
Chickens.
I'm sure they ate fish.
Yeah.
I don't. How many people ate fish? How important is it to eat fish on a regular basis? Fish diet, okay? Mela. Like we all like a good fish, but you know, live without it. Second one, the frogs. Everything stinks. So like the water smells, the air stinks, right? And now like. We're infested with lice. It's disgusting. Derech Agav, they were always infested with lice. Now it's just probably worse. If you think about it, lice in an undeveloped country is just a way of life. Like we are the exception. Think about it. We are the exception. We have a standard of cleanliness and expectation of no vermin in our houses. That's unreasonable. You know, think about it. There's no bugs around here. Like before they invented industrial...
And that's why there's been an increase in autoimmune diseases.
Of course. Because in every country, in the world, there were bugs all over the place. If you think about the degree to which, you know, grain was infested and food, like you said, those bugs. Like the idea that you could create hermetically sealed containers in order to protect your food is an anomaly. How do you do that? The challenge, the greatness, I said, of Yosef saving grain for 6 years wasn't that he saved it. It was that he somehow figured out a way that it wouldn't rot and get eaten by vermin. Like this very famous Mishnayot in Psachim, a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what do you do if you do B'dikat Chametz? The second Mishnah. And then you saw a weasel carry Chametz from one house to another. Like on the morning of Pesach. The morning right before Pesach. So to what degree do you have to worry that there's like, you know, I'll just give you another example, and we'll leave it at that. There's a whole category of halachot. Anybody know the halachot that's related to bugs? Like a whole level of kula that's related to bugs. You know what I'm talking about?
You mean eating them?
No. Eating them, we try not to eat them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Marot. You ever see the marot? Okay.
Yeah.
In Hilchot Nida. Okay. There's a very, very important halacha that we base a lot of kulot on. If a woman sees a stain of blood that's smaller than the size of a grease, smaller size of about like a shekel, more than a shekel, probably smaller than a half shekel, more than a shekel, what's in the middle? I don't know, 5 shekel, size of a nickel in America. Okay, if it's smaller than the size of a gris, we're tole. We assume that it's not from her staining, but rather we assume that there was a bug and that the bug got squashed on her baguette. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Yeah, that's the basis of the kula. And because of this reason, the first thing any rabbi looks at a mara will see is how big is it? How big is the stain? Because if it's smaller than the size of a gris, then we're making it. Right? And that was all based on the idea that there were bugs all over the place.
Mosquitoes.
What?
Mosquitoes.
Oh, it was disgusting. Like mosquitoes. So the idea that there that kinim, yes, we bump up the kinim level. But.
So what's the show in God's power, Omar?
What?
What's the show in God's power?
So my point is, these are plagues, but they're like. Not super plagues. Okay? They're, like he quotes me, the Ramban says that the first 3 plagues, they're like inconvenient plagues. You know? Oh, Moshe, get rid of this, please. It's like, you know, like, stop this. And it was inconvenient, but it wasn't like we think about, like, you know, smiting plagues. We'll get to the smiting plagues.
Is there something about
there's an increase. There's a development. Yeah.
Is there something about the magicians not being able to replicate it?
That's going to come later. Yeah, that's going to come.
Oh, that's later.
That's coming. Aruf. Okay. Perek chet pasuk. I'm sorry, Kini. Aruf.
There's also something about when is water, when is land, and when is air.
Oh, they couldn't do it, right? In this one,
they couldn't replicate.
They could not.
But lo yacholu bati akinam bayomer chartumi mil paro etzba Elohim. It's very interesting. They said it's the finger of God. Okay, we don't know. We can't explain it. There's something meaning. What they say is it doesn't fit into our worldview. Something here is different. By the way. Now that I think about it, thank you for pointing that out. Then that's an excellent conclusion to the first series of plagues. Why? If the whole point is demonstrate the existence of God, first two it's like nah. Second one, eh. The third one, the scientists come and say we can't explain this.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. Oh, thank you for pointing that out. I didn't think about that.
The plagues thank you for pointing that out. Coming closer to them. It was the Nile, then it came to. To the houses, and now it's on them.
Right.
On the body.
Right, right. But what he says, actually interesting, is what was smote here? How did Aaron bring about? What did he strike?
The ground.
The Afar Haaretz. It's still below them. It's the Nile. That's way below. That's lower. Then the frogs come up. And now he struck, and he also, remember what he struck in order to, he struck the Nile, and now he strikes the dust of the earth, right? The lower part. I really like that point. Your point of Etzba Elohim, because that's such a perfect conclusion to the three, right? Bezot Teda, right? Ki, what is it? Bezot Teda Ki Ani Hashem, and all of a sudden come they say Etzba Elohim. They don't say Hashem,
say
by the way.
Cool.
They say Etzba Elohim. What is Elohim?
Hashem is like a judge.
No, not Hashem.
God, I mean.
God is the Hebrews.
God is in.
What?
Is in.
Implying that?
They use the generic word for a deity, implying that it was a natural phenomenon.
No, I don't think it's natural. I think that there's
Elohim
a...
Is the
I disagree with that.
God
you said that?
Nature.
Ramban?
Elohim is the God of nature.
Creator of nature. That's Ramban.
You could take it any way you want. I choose to take it that they said there is something going on. They're not willing to acknowledge Moshe as God.
But Elohim is referred to as the God of nature. Elohim was the creator.
No,
he's the God that's involved in nature.
We normally say Elohim is the God of Din. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the God of Rachamim.
Right. And strict justice and whatever. But it's also Elohim that created. He's the one that's directly involved
cause
in the God of nature.
Interesting. Okay, fine. There's a God, whatever you want to say. But see, that I don't think... But it's not nature. It's not science. It's something beyond what we are understanding. But are we willing to acknowledge that this is their God? No. Stop. Let's not go crazy.
It said also that they use the finger because it implies that it's nothing major.
Right.
As opposed
right.
to the hand. It's a small part.
Right. Okay. Good. Fine. Next one. Arov. Thank you for putting that out. It's very important, actually. Very important. Aaron did it. It's pain level low. Okay, we went from a 2 to a, what did you say it was?
I said 0
lice.
Pain, 8 annoyance.
So all together? Lice are not painful?
No.
You scratch and it gets bloody and disgusting.
It's just annoying.
This mosquito, it was Saturday
That's
night.
That's painful.
Saturday night.
Yes.
We went to sleep late because because you don't sleep on Shabbat and whatever. I'm falling asleep and then I'll hear. Crap. I woke up. I'm like, I know if I don't get this thing, I'm not going to fall asleep. And I can't find it. I'm looking around there. I can't find it. Rena's like, maybe it was like the highway, because when they go on the highway, you can hear it.
<You win. laughs>
Fine. Go back to sleep. An hour later, Rena says, I heard it. Wake up. Kill it. So first of all, I was vindicated because I started to think that I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I get up, I walk around, he had already bitten me over here. I was like, what's this? I get up, I walk around, I finally find him. Boom. And it's like you see like...
And then you see the blood. And then they expect Gamora or whatever.
It was like, right. And they're like, but at least like, And so in between, we have this bug zapper that we leave in the hallway all the time on. I had bring it into the room, take it out of the room, bring it into the room, take it out of the room. And then I had brought it in again, and I kill it. I'm like, okay, we'll go to sleep. Fine, fine, finally. Lie down, and then I hear...
Another one.
Oh, my God.
A few weeks ago, we had 4 in our room.
Oh, it's the worst. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, by the way, living in Africa, they just live with them? They just live with them. They have like the Zika thing that they're dealing with. You know, the mosquitoes. Lo aleinu. We are my son. How much time do we have?
Stories of the show.
Arov.
People were starving, but that's what
5 minutes.
Was the last in the
base. Again, so you see, by the way, why the Chazal think, like Rabbi Yehuda, who says Simanim, he's not just making this up. There's process, there's progression. Let's go back to the first. We saw this, when did we last see? Hashkem Baboker, Hityatsev Lifnei Paro. Where do we see that? Hine Yotze Hamayim, Adam. So we're resetting. Okay, so it's a textual reset, it's beautiful. Right, it's not just that there's that we're making up these 3 sets. Resetting.
Can I ask a question? Is there a pattern to the time of day?
I don't know. In the morning I saw. I didn't see any other than that. We just see the morning and the first, this one, that one. Dam Tzardei Akinu Arvei Devashrim. Barad. Just skip to Barad for a second. You see it on your page, right? You'll see now, I'm just trying to point to you that it's every 3. Mm-hmm. Perek Tet Pasuk Yud Gimel. You see it? Perek Tet Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashkem baboker v'tasev lifnei paro. Again, like it's like so we see it in Dam, Arov, Barad. Barad is, you know what I'm saying? In each one, get up in the morning, go before Paro. It's a kind of, there's a warning each one, there's a reset each time. Okay? So we see that it's not, and now we see the beauty of Rabbi Yehuda Hayah Noten Behem Simanim. It's not like, oh, I'll get you to remember them. He gave you Simanim in order to show you, he says, there's the Tzach, there's the Adash, and then there's Be'acha, and then Bet. The Bet is not connected. The Bet is the last one. Okay? So let's go back to Arov. Hashkem Baboker, Vaseifin of Arov. Hinei HaYosei HaMaima. Again, he's going out into the water. Ve'amar Ta'ilav. Ko Amar Hashem Shalach Ami B'Yavduni. Why?
Just going back to the lice. Mm-hmm. What was the God's power over with the lice?
They said, he writes, the dust of the earth. And we're steadily coming up. We're moving upwards. But I don't know. Take it or leave it.
It could be because of, like you said, what Aaron...
Because he's struck.
And each one, by the way, is Aaron. Remember, Aaron's doing the magic tricks right now.
Is it also like the water and the creatures? Is it also where Aaron is striking? Or just...
Yeah. Aaron only struck the water. Remember, what did the Midrash say about that? Why did Aaron strike the water?
Because Moshe was saved.
Because Moshe was saved by the Ur. Why was Moshe saved by the dust?
Because when he killed the Mitzri, the dust buried the Mitzri.
Oh, right.
Yeah, fair,
right.
Forgot that. Okay, we're back to Arov. Im en chamesh alechet ami, pasuk yud zayin, chet yud zayin. You don't send out my nation. Hinani mashliach b'cha uva'abadecha uva'amcha uva'atecha et ha'arov. I'm going to send in you and your servants and your nation the Arov. Umalu batei mitzayim et ha'arov, v'gam ha'adama asher him aleihem. Okay? This sounds very similar to Malu et Batechas for frogs. Nice. Okay. Vihifleti Bayom Hahu, but now we're adding another element. Et Eretz Goshen, Asher Ami Omer Aleha, Livilti Hayot Sham Arov. Now there's what's called Hafla'a. Hafla'a in Hebrew means a distinction, a separation. Lafli. Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. Right? This is the highlight, Leman Teda, so that you will know I am God, the care of Aris in the midst of the land. Now go back to your first page. I brought it for you again. Leman Teda, to the Malbim. See in the second paragraph, the second box. Vifleti Bayom Ahu. Let's look at the, see where it says Malbim down there. Malbim. Okay. Ubasher, see where I am? Malbim? Right here. Ubasher Seder Hazeh Hasheni Shel Adash Balivarer. Pinat ha-hashgacha. It says the Malbim is to teach you hashgacha, providence. Sheparo lo ha'emin sha'ashem elyon mashgiach b'kerev haaretz. Okay, now you got, there's a God, right? Okay, there's a God, like we said, the God of nature. God, somebody created this clock. No problem. But it's a clock. Fine. No. There's a mashgiach. There's someone watching over. B'kerev haaretz, b'hashgacha pratit. U k'mo she'katuv, as is written, l'man teida ki ani Hashem b'kerev haaretz. Okay, that's the second thing.
So it's intervention, divine intervention.
Interventional, right. Divine providence. There's the God is Mashgiach. He's watching over us. He's his presence is in the land all the time. Bekerav Haaretz. He writes here, control of the world details. I don't know if I would say that. I would say, God is Mashkiach, God is present, God is intervening, God is here. Okay? That's the reason the Malbim says, having all three, these acts, Adash, Ayin, Dalet, Shin, and that's demonstrated, he says, through the Hafla'ah, the distinction, not the plague itself, but now you're going to start checking and say, wait, did the Jews have this? Okay? And when the Jews don't have it, then that's something unusual. Okay, but in order for that to be true, it has to be a plague that's...
So were the other plagues also from the Jews?
The blood was universal.
The drinking water of the Jews wasn't contaminated.
What? It doesn't say that it wasn't. That's just Midrash. Doesn't say that it wasn't.
So basically...
Like, it says Uba Abadecha. By the way, it does say Uba Abadecha. Uba Tekol Abadecha, right? It says about the frogs. I never thought about that. But if, according to this, it would only make sense if everyone had it, that the Jews also had that plague.
This brings so much of Rosh Hashanah.
What?
This brings so much of Rosh Hashanah.
Why?
That you've got Malchut, which is all the world to recognize Hashem as their maker. And then you've got Hashem, our Father, who's got this personal interest in each one of us as individuals.
The more I think about this, the more I think, now that I realize it, the more I think that the plague did affect the Jews. It would only make sense. The first three. It would only make sense.
It correct. Wouldn't say, and I shall set apart the land of Goshen.
Right.
It wouldn't specifically say that
correct.
Here if it hadn't affected them in the first three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Moshe is like mocking him. Let's look. The Pasuk Yutet. V'samti pedut bein ami ubein amecha, lemachar yeh ha'ot hazeh. You know how I'm going to do this?
Tomorrow.
You started... The plague will come out tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why did, like, I just have that feeling that Moshe kind of threw that in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's going to come tomorrow. I'll let you stew on this for a little bit. Now, the question is, I always ask, so what do we have? Do we have a warning? Yes, we do. Let's see who does it. 1 second. Vayas Hashem, v'samti bid, vayas v'mkein, vayavo ha'arov, kaved ha'baita. V'chol ha'aretz misraim, tishachet ha'aretz b'pnei ha'arov. Okay, God did this. So who did it?
Hashem.
God did it. Yeah, it wasn't really Moshe. Okay. It just happened. So was there a warning?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God's power over? Hard to say. It all depends on what you think the Arov was. So according to nursery school,
what
did
they say?
What did they say?
What
did they say? Mixed multitudes,
form
it says.
Of wild beasts.
I don't like this interpretation. I never liked it, and I still don't like it. I don't know why the Midrash says this. If there were wild beasts, if there were lions and tigers and bears, what would they do?
Destroy. Really?
They would kill people. They would destroy.
No, but I think it was taking the natural beasts that are there.
What natural beasts exist in Egypt?
Hyenas.
Dogs.
Jackals.
Okay.
Hyenas.
It's like it feels like it's like a Hunger Games kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very strange, isn't it? I always believed.
But it goes back to what you were saying. It does make sense because you're saying if it's hashkacha pratzis, if that's what it is, the fact that Hashem can send out wild animals and they don't destroy people shows His control over them.
Ubechol eretz Yisrael tishachet haaretz mivnei haarov. What is tishachet haaretz? So there's a midrash that says that the arov. By the way, the word arov is just very strange. We don't know what it is. We don't know. Arov, urav, something mixed multitude, something or other. That the midrash that said that there was flies and
gnats.
You ever walk in the park and there's like this swarm of flies?
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't go anywhere. Right? Just it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Right. I always thought that was that.
Arov.
Why? That would just, and it was everywhere. It was in your house. It was in your everything. You just can't go anywhere.
Scary.
You can't
that's
breathe.
Annoying.
It's what?
That's just annoying. It's
sounds
scary.
Like, sounds like, who said it was supposed to be scary?
Sounds like nuts. Yeah.
Sounds like, no. It doesn't afflict them. It doesn't pain them. It annoys them.
Sounds like frogs.
Frogs.
Sounds like blood.
Why?
Inconvenience?
Yeah. Tishachet. Tivash.
Sounds like all three.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue next week.
Wait, it shows God's power over?
I don't know.
After the individual.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends what you think that it was. So he says here land animals, but I don't know.
Day-to-day
I prefer...
Rashi
says it's wild animals, but Rashi's missing the Midrash, clearly. Right? It just, I, for whatever reason, I think I said it a few years ago. It just, something doesn't stem with me. There's something wrong with it. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now you see why I didn't want to record. It's like too much give and take. Should I have recorded it?
I don't know.
Not unless you post the form.
Oh, I post the form.